Good morning. I'd like to entitle this message, The Faithful God. Even as we celebrate Father's Day today, we always remember that God is also our Father. I'd like to read from the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 6 to verse 9. It reads, "For you are a holy people to the Lord. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you or choose you because you are more in number than any other people, for you are the least of all people, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep his oath which he swore to your fathers. The Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." In fact, the Apostle Peter said something similar in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 9 and 10, when he said, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who once had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Let us pray. Father, we thank you that even as we celebrate Father's Day today, we'll always remember you as God who is our Father in our Lord Jesus Christ. That you have done so much for us, the faithful God who keeps his covenant to a thousand generations, as long as we love you and keep your commandments. So today, I pray that you help me, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Now, Moses is now 120 years old, a father figure for the people he had led out of Egypt. He has led the children of Israel out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, traveled with them for 40 years in the wilderness, and now they were at the brink of entering the promised land. A whole generation of them has died in the wilderness. All of them present were probably 60 years or younger, except for two men, the two spies who brought back a good report, who were positive in knowing what God can do for them, Joshua and Caleb. The words of Moses were recorded in this book of Deuteronomy. The Jewish people call it Mishneh HaTorah, the repetition of the law, because it was almost like a summary of all the first three books that was written by Moses. In fact, Moses actually prophesied of the Messiah in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, verse 15. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. Him you shall hear." And notably, Jesus also said in John, the 5th chapter, verse 46 and 47, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" I think it is important for every generation to be reminded of what the Lord has done for us, so that we may know that the Lord our God is a faithful God who keeps his covenant as long as we love him and keep His commandments. I believe that every one of us here today, no matter how long you have been a believer in Christ, whether you are a four-month-old Christian, 4 years-old Christian, or a believer like me for 48 years, I'm sure you can testify that the Lord our God is a faithful God. The leadership in KUZ has asked me to share today, probably because I'm the longest full-time staff in the English congregation. For the past 28 years, I've seen the ups and downs in Church of Our Savior. I've seen the leadership transition from Pastor Derek Hong to our present senior pastor, Daniel Wee. Different leadership styles, but personally, I've learned a lot from both of these men of God. And of course, as an aging church also, quite a lot of our staff are actually in our 60s. So it's very important for us to plan ahead as much as possible. Even as we look back on the Lord's faithfulness to us, I think there are three simple things that the Lord expects of us to be faithful to. I want us to turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 16. And Jesus was telling this story that there was a certain rich man, verse 1, who had a steward. And an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So this rich man called the steward and said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward." Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I've resolved to what to do that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." So he called every one of his master debtors to him and said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. "Sit down quickly and write 50. And he said to another, "How much do you owe my master?" 100 measures of wheat. "Sit down and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when they fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations." And now these are the three lessons that Jesus taught about faithfulness. He who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much. He who is unjust in least is unjust also in much. Faithful in little things. The second point about faithfulness that Jesus taught about in verse 11, "Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches?" Faithful in money. And the third point about faithfulness, "And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" Faithful to your boss. No servant can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Faithful in small things. Say what you mean and mean what you say. All right? Are you trusted by your friends and family members? Are you reliable? Can people count on you? That's why Jesus taught us, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Many people today are on a career path, but few seems to be on a correct path. What we want today is that we want much. without being faithful in little things. Sometimes I talk to Christians and the impression they want to give me is that, oh, deep in their hearts, they really love Jesus. Sometimes I wish I can tell them, can you don't bury your love for Jesus so deep in your hearts? Let it be seen clearly, manifested, so that people can see your love for Jesus. Being faithful in little things. Are you faithful in little things before God? Like studying and reading the Word of God? So that you will know His will and you'll be obedient to what He says. For those of us who are watching online today, I hope that you'll come back to minister services. Okay? Jesus taught us the importance of being gathering together. All right? As a people of God, to worship Him together. Do not be controlled by fear in your life. Many years ago, in my previous church, when I was a church elder, we know of a member's grandmother who was dying. And one day, the leader called me up. Elder Chilip, the mother died. I thought he made a mistake. You mean the grandmother? No, the mother died. All right? Don't be controlled by fears or anything. Or don't be too lazy to come to church physically, because I believe this is what God wants of you. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Daniel Wee mentioned about the Project Lost Coin. And this is a project all of us can be involved in. This concerns your friend, your loved one, your relative who has been missing in from church physically. Pastor Arthur Yeo called these people MIA. What is MIA? He said not missing in action, missing in auditorium. Do you know of someone who is MIA today? From your cell group or even from church service? If you do, is there something you can do about it? Can you help that person who is missing from church services to come back? All right, give them a call. Hey, how are things? Is there anything I can help you with? All right, and if there's a need, can you do something about it? That's why last weekend, and what Pastor Gim shared just now during the announcement, we have this care at Coos. All right, we have known that there are elderly people, not that they are completely unable to come to church, but because of age, probably they have difficulty getting public transport. So you have a car or you can help in some other ways. Drew, help them so that they can be together in the house of God, together with us, worshiping God together. All right? Besides being faithful in small things, Jesus also taught us the importance of being faithful to money, because this is why we work, right? And money makes the world go round. And Jesus probably taught more about money and earthly possession more than heaven or hell put together. And I believe the reason he did that was that because if you take care of what you do with money, don't worry, all right, about your eternal security. If you do what is right in the sight of God, your eternity is secured. Faithful in money. Let's turn to them. I want us to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter. And Jesus was instructing his disciples here about money. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, nor where thieves, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is your darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. May I suggest to you what an evil eye is? An evil eye, I believe, because when Jesus talked about this evil eye, it's always in the context of God and mammon, money. All right, in the context of money, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You cannot serve God and mammon. So in this context of being a bad eye or an evil eye, may I suggest to you, a bad eye is an eye that's envious, jealous, and covetous. And a good eye is an eye that is generous, a generous eye who's willing to give and share. Jesus also taught about this parable, about having evil and good eye, in Matthew, the 20th chapter, the parable of the vineyard owner. In verse 1, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he agreed with the laborers for a denarius, a day's wages, he sent them out into his vineyard. And he went out third hour, 9 a.m., and saw others standing idle in the vineyard, and said to him, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. No promise of anything, I will give you.' And they went. Again, he went out at 12 noon, 3 p.m., and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others idle, standing idle, and said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.' So when evening came, the owner of the vineyard called his steward, his manager, 'All right, call your laborers and give them their wages, beginning from those who only work 1 hour and then backwards.'" Okay, beginning with the last to the first. So those who came at 5 p.m., they receive a denarius. Wow, they must be so happy. 1 hour, I give a day's wages. But when the first came, they supposed they would receive more. But to their horror, they also receive only 1 denarius. Well, like that, must write to trade union already. How come so unfair? Right? Probably that's what we'll think. Right? But I was just thinking about this vineyard owner. Because why did he do that? Because he actually rebuked them by saying, those who only receive one who work the whole day, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Do you not agree with me for 1 denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to go to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil?" All right, the same word, bad, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, "because I am good," or "because I have a good eye, a generous eye." Imagine, I'm just thinking, the vineyard owner, being a generous man, every time he went out, he see people not working. Okay, better give them some work to do, or they may not have food to lay on the table for their family the next day. All right, you must understand that this is the time when people just receive a day's wages one day at a time. And probably at about 4 p.m. even, he was thinking, "Wow, when I came out, there were some people still waiting in the marketplace, waiting to be employed. So, never mind, okay? Even 5 p.m., I'll still go and get them to work for me. Even though they may not be as productive, of course, because they can only work 1 hour, I will still bless them." Being generous, having a good eye, an eye of generosity compared with a bad or evil eye, eye of envy, jealousy, and covetousness. I believe that many a time, sometimes we are just touched by people, all right, who have needs. Do you go out and share with them? A couple of weeks ago, I was in Jurong Point having lunch, and after that, I went to my favorite Ya Kun store to have my cup of coffee. And suddenly, this guy approached me, an elderly gentleman approached me, and said in Chinese, can I have some money? Because I haven't had my lunch. Sometimes it's cases like that, well, I just kind of analyze, oh, is this guy a con man, or he's trying to cheat me, or he's going to get the money, going to buy beer, or buy cigarette, or whatever. Oh, these things always happen, all right? But I felt that, yeah, okay, I'll just give him the money, so that that night when I sleep, I don't have to wrestle in my mind, did I do the right thing? Should I have given the money, or whatever? Okay? I'd rather err on generosity than err on being cautious. Faithful in money. Besides being faithful in small things and faithful in money, I believe that there's a third important point, that's being faithful to your boss. All right? Faithful to your boss. I do not mean that you need to sign on for life, all right, for your job that you're working in. There are seasons of change. But as long as you're working there, you should be faithful. We all hear about difficult bosses to please. Okay? My late father actually worked for a relative, and I know some of the anguish he had to go through at times. But I have to look at the patriarch Jacob, about his own boss, who also happened to be his father-in-law. Genesis chapter 31, verse 46. But before that, this confrontation with Laban, his father-in-law, Laban said this word in verse 29. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father, he talked to Jacob, spoke to me last night saying, be careful what you speak to Jacob, neither good nor bad. All right? So in this context, Jacob became angry with Laban and rebuked him in verse 36. What is my trespass and what is my sin that you pursue me so hotly? Although you have searched all my things for your household things, have you been able to find them? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren that they may be judged between us both. These 20 years I've been with you, your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the ram of your flock. That which was torn by beasts, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You require it from my hand, whether it's stolen by day or stolen by night. There was, in the day of drought, when it consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I've been in your house 20 years. I've served 14 years for your daughters and 6 years for your flock. And you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. And God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. And even as Jacob, for 20 years, he probably suffered at the hands of Laban. All right, as told by this story, the Lord blessed him tremendously financially after that, even helping Jacob to be reconciled to Esau, his brother, who initially wanted to kill Jacob. This reminds me of what the book of Proverbs 16, chapter verse 17 says, when a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I'd like to share my own story when I reached 62 years old. It was sometime at the end of 2019, before COVID came to Singapore, and a few months before my 62nd birthday. And Pastor Joseph Yu came to me on a Saturday service, just before the Saturday service, and approached me just right here, right, at the altar area. And he told me, you know, Chilip, our church administrator and the one in charge of HR, Gemma, told me that you are reaching 62 years old in a few months. I need to have lunch with you and talk to you about your plans and what about your retirement and all that. Okay. So I told Pastor Joseph, if the church wants me to work, I will continue working. And almost without hesitation, he said, like that, no need to have lunch with you. Wow, wasted, man. Wow, should have gotten a free lunch from Pastor Joseph. Tell him all my plans. Oh, I said, okay, in the end, I still work. Okay, of course. Then in early 2020, of course, Singapore was hit by COVID. And during the lockdown, sometimes I wake up in the morning and have to ask my wife, dear, today what day? I'm sure it's just me, none of you. Wow, you're so, working so hard. No problem. All right. Don't even know what day was it. Also, I felt a bit jaded and compounded by the fact that I already served full-time in Church of Our Savior for 25 years. I was actually ready to call it quits. And of course, at that time, Pastor Daniel Wee started Project Jireh, and he called me up one day and said, hey, Philip, can you help? Of course, when senior pastor call you, it's very difficult to say no. Okay, I decided to hang on during this time. And during this time, I came across people with needs that are real and also pressing. One time, I visited a family with one of our Chinese pastor because the family was, the wife was suffering from OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and she needs to wash and wash and wash. And for a small unit, a small family, their water bill came out to more than $200 a month. Okay, not counting the detergent and the other cleaning stuff. Okay? And it was just a small rented room. So when the Chinese pastor and I walked into the house, I was shocked. You all know about 7 months, right? 7 months, they would just auction all that stuff. And I walked into the room. It was full of that. And the only place I can sit with the man of the house was just on the floor in a small corner. Okay? Because the man owed the boss quite a lot of money. So the boss said, oh, now no 7 months. All right, I need to save money. All this paraphernalia in the house, in the store, in the company. I need to save money. I need to clear the storeroom. And because you owe me money, all this stuff I need to put in your house. All right, these are the kind of needs that I faced at that time. They are very real and also very pressing. So I continue to serve. But at the end of 2021, I felt the Lord telling me that He will give me a second wind. I told my wife, if Church of Our Savior wants me to carry on, I would. All right? So we just left it at that. And on March 24th, 2022, during our staff devotion, we invited Pastor Jonathan Wong from Church of the Good Shepherd at that time to come and share at our staff devotion. And he taught from the book of Jonah, the life of Jonah. And it was exactly the same message that I heard 38 years ago in a missions conference in my first church. And it was in that conference that I decided that I want to give my life completely to God, to serve Him wholeheartedly. And many of the points shared by Pastor Jonathan were the exact points shared by this Anglican priest 38 years ago at a missions conference. In fact, some of the points were almost verbatim. The Anglican priest was Reverend James Wong, now fondly remembered as the late Canon James Wong. I wonder where Pastor Jonathan got his message. In case some of you do not know, Pastor Jonathan Wong is the son of our late Canon James Wong. It was almost like the Lord reminded me, you have heard from the Father, now hear from the Son. And normally by the end of the year or early January, I would know whether I will receive my yearly contract. Okay, we follow MOM guidelines that once you reach 62 or now I think 63 that we are contracted annually. And but this year, end of last year, sorry. Normally end of last year or early in January this year, the administrator, Gemma, would let me know, okay, actually come and sign your contract or whatever. But this year, even by the end of January 2023, still no news. So I put in my Google calendar, 16th April is a Sunday, last day on staff in Church of Our Savior. Wow, that day I checked, oh, Pastor Kim Yong is preaching, okay. I listened to him for last time as a staff. All right, only on 9th of February, I received a message from Gemma, our HR manager. He said, hi, Pastor Chilip, I'm preparing a new contract next week and we'll WhatsApp you for the signing. I replied, thanks, Gemma, so I don't need to look for new employment. So you need to put up with me for a little while longer. Okay. As I reached 65 years old with my wife this year, we are the first cohort, the first batch of people, right, Singaporeans, to be automatically placed under CPF Life, okay? Or money from the retirement fund will be transferred to CPF Life. And we made an appointment with the CPF board, and we asked how much we'll be getting once we retire, our monthly payouts. And even though we have exactly the same amount of money in our CPF Life, sorry, in our retirement account, I was told that my wife's monthly payment will be less than mine. So I asked, how come? Same amount of money, how come she gets less than me? Oh, the officer replied, women live longer than men. I've always been interested in facts and figures, all right, statistics. Okay, sorry, can we break again? All right, how much longer? Wow. Life expectancy of women, all right, 85.2 years. Okay, probably because of COVID, the past couple of years, it dipped slightly, all right? Normally it was higher, and same as men. For men, 80.7 years. Okay, so that's the first chart. So, she's going to get less than me. So, I asked, by how much? So, she gave us the figure. So, being very interested in facts and figures and statistics, actually during the COVID lockdown, I signed up for a course on data analytics using my SkillsFuture fund. And the first lesson I learned online was programming of software like Anaconda, Python. I told my wife, the only thing I know is snake and ladders. What is this Anaconda and Python? All right, totally foreign to me. All right, so that is our statistics. If you are a Singaporean, chances are that you live for 85.2 years for women and about 81 years for men. But what happens? Because women live longer. So I asked her for the next chart, all right? And this chart was actually helped my Johan, our media team, to help me because he could get the latest figure. So how old will you live? How much longer will you live when you reach 65 years old? Okay? When you reach 65 years, the average life expectancy for women is about 22 to 23 years. That means for ladies, if you are about 65 years old this year, you're expected to live to 87 to 88 years old. Okay? For men like me, about 19 years more to live, till about 84. I asked the Lord, what am I going to do with my life for the next 19 years? And I hope today, if you are around my age group, you ask yourself the same question. What are you going to do with your life for the next 19 years? Not eat and wait to die, huh? Hokkien say, chia pa tan si. Right? What are you going to do with your life? I believe we have a destiny. The Lord wants us to live for Him because He's been a faithful God and Father to us. And because of that, we should always reciprocate His faithfulness and goodness. You know, in the month of September this coming year, We're going to have Pastor Peter Sukahira to come to hold a conference. I believe it's on the 6th and 7th of September. So if you're able to, keep that day, 2 days free. And he actually have a prophecy for all of us. And it's found in the Acts of the Holy Spirit in Church of Our Savior. And this is recorded. And those of us who know Pastor Peter Sukahira is not one who just prophesy and then doesn't keep his word. But I believe he's a man of God who have insight in what God is telling him. And this was his prophecy. I see this church as a garden. And he's coming to pour out living water so that new things will begin to grow. Let the Spirit water you. Drink in the Spirit. It is like the rain from heaven. I believe God has sent me here to proclaim to you a new season. A new season of growth. A new season of refreshment. A new season of excitement in the Lord. A new season of creativity. He loves you so much. He has seen your patience. I will do something new. He will always do what he says. We have a destiny. God has called us and God has kept his covenant with us because he is a faithful God. And I've shared three simple points of how we can reciprocate that faithfulness. Faithful in little things, faithful with money, faithful with those that God has placed over us. I'd like to end with this story of Samson. Many of us are familiar with the life of Samson, called to be a judge of Israel, probably the only one who is endowed with supernatural strength. Yet, you're looking at his life, you know that his life was out of God's will, and as a result, fell in the hands of Delilah. Of how Delilah tried to trick him, what is the secret of your strength? And he lied to Delilah for three times, and the fourth time, all right, Delilah would test him and say, oh yeah, you say you love me, but your heart is not with me. Yeah, I'm not quoting from Korean drama. It's found in Judges, the 16th chapter, okay? All right, your heart is not with me. And finally, after all the pestering, nagging, okay, I'll tell you my secret. It's in my hair, all right? So Delilah got somebody to cut his hair while he was sleeping on her lap, and then he shouted, the Philistines are upon you. And Samson woke up and tried to think that he has the strength to just destroy all these Philistines. To his horror and grief, very sad words in Scripture, he wished the Lord has not departed from him. His strength was gone. He was captured, sent to prison, has his eyes gouged out, and became a grinder in prison. And there was one time when they had a worship of Dagon, the Philistine god, in that temple of Dagon. And they say, oh, this God has done so great things for us that he has let us capture Samson. Let's make fun of him. Let him come up to the temple and perform for us. And then Samson will perform in front of 3,000 men and women, some of them even on the rooftop, probably jeering him and cursing him and making fun of him. And he told the guy who brought him up, can you put me beside a pillar so I can lean upon it? And that man did. And Samson cried out one last time, oh Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once. One last time, oh God, that I with one blow may take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And with one push, he pushed down the two pillars that supported the temple, and whole temple came crashing down. And 3,000 men and women who were worshipping in the temple died with Samson. And the Bible records that he killed more people in that one blow than all the years than he was out on the roads, out in the land. And sometimes when we look at the life of Samson, we wonder whether he's even saved, right? Such a disobedient servant of God, even immoral in his ways. Can the Lord forgive him? I believe our God is a faithful God who's willing to forgive those who repent. Because in the book of Hebrews, the chapter 11, the whole chapter of the book of heroes of the Bible, heroes in the New Old Testament, we see the name of Samson mentioned with all the great saints of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. We return to the book of Deuteronomy where we first began, where Moses was instructing and preparing the children of Israel to enter the promised land. But because of his once disobedience, Moses himself was not allowed to go in. Sometimes we look at that and say, wow, Lord, he served you so well. Just one mistake and you don't allow him to go into the promised land. But our God is a faithful God. At the Mount of Transfiguration, in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all three gospels record of Jesus appearing at the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah and Moses. In other words, Moses was in the promised land because the Mount of Transfiguration is in the promised land. Our God is a faithful God. And God the Father himself spoke from heaven and say, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Hear him. Just like what Moses said in Deuteronomy when he prophesied about the coming Messiah. God will raise up from you among you a prophet. Him you shall hear. Our God is a faithful God. Can we rise and give thanks and worship God together? I just feel that some of us, maybe about my age, and you feel that, oh yeah, maybe I got nothing left to give. All right? You feel that your tank is near empty, right? E doesn't stand for empty. E stands for enough. Enough for you to carry on. Maybe in the last lap of your life. All right? What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Some of you feel that, oh, I'll let the young people do. But I believe God wants to assure you. God has plans for you. God's plan and desire for you is still to fulfill the work in this kingdom. Let's sing together.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back.
I also felt in my heart that today being Father's Day, I felt there are people here, fathers or even mothers, that you have prodigal children. Once upon a time, they follow you to church, but now seemingly they are no longer in the faith. And that's an anguish in your heart. All right. And you need somebody to support you in prayer, do come out at the end of the message. Or those of you who feel that, yes, sense that, yes, God, you are not finished with me yet. No matter what people say or no matter what people think, I still want to follow Jesus. I still want to give the rest of my life. No matter how many years it takes that you have given me, I want to dedicate my life again for your glory. Or even you feel that you feel God like Samson. All right. God has not rejected him. One more time. One last time. One last lap. I want to serve the Lord with all my life, with all my heart. If you are the people, just come forward even if we sing again. All right. Two categories of people. People who need prayer for prodigal children and those who feel that, yes, God, you have something more for me. This is not the end. I want to serve you until my last breath. Just come forward. Alright, you need prayer, just come forward, alright? We are family here.
My cross till I see Jesus, my cross I'll carry. Till I see Jesus, no turning back, no turning back.
Just come forward, right? We have people here to pray alongside with you.
I will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
I want to dismiss us. These words from 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you, that you should be called the children of God. You should be called the children of God. So Father, we thank you that you are forever our God and our Father in our Lord Jesus Christ. So I bless my brothers and sisters today with that grace and that heart and that determination to just love you and follow you to the end of our days. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.